This is Palace Pages.
With Ariana, Dan, and Deb. Ariana.
It's Palace Pages, the second episode in the month of February 2025. You will notice, those of you who have been following our storyline, that today's story is actually sort of a flashback. Because last session, we had a flash forward to a moment in time at which Selena and Ralph went on a foray into the wilderness to chase down a missing falcon led by another falcon. So Stirrup the Falcon led them to find Bree the Falcon. If you've not listened to that excerpt, I will not ruin it for you, but it has quite the adventurous and climactic ending, resulting in grievous consequences for Ralph and Selena. But now we're picking up at the moment where Dan and Selena are in the and Rosie are in the alleyway next to the restaurant. You followed a sly-looking woman with dark hair and a veil on her face, which Selena and Rosie had pretty much Selena, but Rosie was there, had briefly interacted with after they saw her come from an alleyway that leads to a dead end in the city wall, and Selena had thought that she had seen her slip over the wall illegally. You've used the stones of communication and spoken with Ogrifa concerning the possible evil that might be afoot, and his instructions to you were to get inside the restaurant if possible and find out what she might be up to. However, he also instructed you to keep your risk to a minimum. So if there is substantial risk for yourself in investigating what she might be up to, that you should avoid anything too severe. Now, of course, to do good, one knows that one must finish the job. And so you realize if you get into something that is over your heads a little too much for you, it could certainly go south quickly, sideways quickly. Yes. All right. So this is where we are picking up with Selena, Dan, and Rosie. As Selena, Dan, Rosie, the horse whose name was Brown Steel, but you renamed it to be, do you remember?
I think it was either...
I just saw it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you probably have it on your character sheet.
Oh, it's on the back.
Oh, I forgot to write it down, dude.
We can find it in the podcast.
I'm
so polite when I'm talking with you.
This is the first session I've played this year.
It is. The horse's name was Brown Steel, and you changed the horse's name to be Sparrow.
Yeah, because you love birds. I forgot about that.
Sparrow and Pigeon Little.
I'm going to write that down so I don't forget.
Okay. So you will recall a couple of details, one of which is you did see the lady go inside. You can see the front of the restaurant. There are several individuals who are sitting in there eating. And the lady had, you could see her standing in the back of the room talking to somebody in a side or back chamber. So you know that she had interaction there. Also, as you went around to the back door and were trying to talk with Ogrifa, you had seen a man come out of the back door and leave a bag of garbage in the middle of the alleyway. Okay, so the back door is a possible point of entrance, but in so doing, you realize, you know, like if you go into the kitchen, for example, they might say, what are you doing in here? What are you kids doing in here? That kind of thing. But you also know that you could, because it is an open for business establishment, you could theoretically go in the front door, and with some effort and researching, you might find an additional way to get inside or a way to spy inside without physically going inside. So that's where we're actually at. And then it brings me to my very traditional question. What do you do?
Is there no way we could get behind the building, or is it against the wall?
So you're on the side of the building here, and the alleyway runs all the way back, and the building is built back to back, apparently, with another building that kind of looks like a warehouse type building. It doesn't like...
That might be where they're keeping the food.
If you go all the way to the end of the alleyway and look outside, it might have a sign on the front of it, and so you might could get more information that way.
I want to know if there's a back way.
It does not appear to be, unless this whole long building is all one building, in which case then the back door actually faces the next street, but you'd have to go down there to look. You haven't done yet.
If they're connected, they could be keeping the food back there.
The question is, as the three of you are there, when we broke off, the two of you were standing on the ground and just got done talking with Ogrifa, and Rosie was sitting on the back of Pigeon, and that's where we're at now.
It's so,
what do you do? It is a riding horse. I did look it up.
Okay, right.
It is a very strong riding horse. In fact, it had been raced by it had been prepared for racing by its previous owner, but never raced. That's its history. And you actually got the name of the owner, which I don't have it right now, but it's in the transcript for the podcast, so you can look it up.
I believe we should go around to the front.
Well, okay, so go to the front of the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is not.
I mean,
I say that out loud.
We could do something where you guys would go. Is there a window on the door that I can see in? inside the side door the guy ran into, or there's no window?
No, it's all a door. As a general rule, windows face where light goes or where there's a purpose of it. I mean, it could be a window in that door to like see out into the alleyway, but you wouldn't see much.
That's right. So, I mean,
and remember, windows are uncommon. This restaurant does have a glass window in the front of it. I know that previously. And it was like frosting over. It is cool outside. It's in the mid to high 30s. You can see your breath, see the breath of your mounts.
S-P-A-R-R-O-W. I'll just write it down that I have worse.
Just beyond the edge of the alleyway, there's quite a bit of people still moving around. The city is still fairly active this time of night.
All right, well, I say we should get out of the alleyway in case before something or someone comes trying to get us.
What do you think's going to come trying to get us? A big sewer rat?
No.
Rosie says, we'll probably have to leave the horses back here or tie them out front on the posts. If we tie them out front on the posts, people are going to wonder where we're at. I could maybe conceal them. If we put them over against a wall, I might be able to conceal them. So if anybody looks down the alleyway, they wouldn't see them.
Or we have one person just sitting outside with the mounts, the horse and the mule.
I don't know if that's a good idea. That puts the other two in danger, not having the sword, and the one alone in danger.
True, but the one alone could always flee.
Someone's
for that matter, if you wanted me to, I could take Sparrow and Pigeon and go back toward the market and then just come back down here. Once you guys are done doing whatever you're doing, we can communicate by the stones. So we could tell each other what's going on.
Okay.
But then you won't have, like, you won't have them sitting here for a quick getaway. But you could just run. It might even be safer running. More likely to be spotted on the horses. Unless you got to put the horses away at some point. So if the horses get spotted, it might be easier for them to come after you.
Okay.
All right, so that's what we'll do. I'll take Sparrow and Pigeon. I will tell you, I've not done much riding. Steer, cart, but not much riding. But this shouldn't be a problem. I'll take them back to the marketplace. Do a little more shopping, whatever, and you guys can check this out. Call me if you need me, and I'll come back down here right away.
If you're watching, watch your feet around Pigeon.
I've noticed he's pretty docile. I think I could probably ride him.
I don't know about
Sparrow. Sparrow scares me. It's a lot of muscle.
That's why I wanted the horse, because
Pigeon.
But getaways.
Pigeon will listen around us. He was so excited to come.
Okay. She's taking the horse and the mule, and headed out the alleyway. She smiles over her shoulder. See her turn across the restaurant, head back in the direction of the marketplace. And what do you do now?
Walk to the front.
Okay, you're walking out the front of the restaurant. See the same scene that you saw before. A large glass window frosted around the metal edges. There's a door to the right of it. And
the girl's still back there.
No, as you look into into the restaurant, you see that the scene has changed somewhat. It has been about 10 minutes. So you see a couple, a man and a woman, sitting at the table just inside the window. And you can see them fairly clearly, but everything else further back is blurry, as it was before. And you can see that the back of the dining room, which holds about another four tables, no one's seated at any of them. And there is what looks to be a serving wench who is cleaning off one table that apparently recently came empty.
We should probably go in.
It looks pretty not busy.
Go in.
Okay. You step up to the door. It opens easily. Are you going in first?
I'll go in first.
Okay.
I follow right behind him. If when there is a gap of room, if I can, without bumping into anything or bringing focus to myself, I move up next to him.
Okay. Yeah, there's plenty of room to walk once you get through the doorway. You can see just inside, as previously mentioned, there is one table there. There's a couple sitting there, and they're kind of staring into each other's eyes over glasses of wine and like that. It seems to be sort of a romantic setting. There's a candle on the table. The next table doesn't have anybody at it. It is slightly to the left. The next table doesn't have anybody at it. It is to the right, and it has a lantern on it, which is contributing to the source of light in the room. Okay, and the lantern burns brightly, and you see there are just a couple of other lanterns and the candles on the table. That's it. So overall, the room is kind of dimly lit, but it's lit bright enough to see. And the next table back is to the left, and it has the stuff on it, and she's just loading a bunch of it up on a tray. And then you see another serving girl come from the back, and she comes through a swinging door, and you can see yellow light in that room pretty brightly lit, and you can kind of smell smoke and others like savory smells coming from there. It sounds it looks like the kitchen. And then there's another table at the back, and right off that table to the right is a door leading to a side room. So here there's five tables total. And this door has just led onto this room, and that's it. There's just the five tables, and it goes left, right, or right, left, right, left, right.
Yeah, I'll continue walking to the back, and I'll go to the side door.
Okay. Well, the second serving girl comes from the one that just came from the kitchen, the one that wasn't clearing the table. She comes up, and she intersects you as you're about, like, just about to the third table, and she says, I have a table ready for you. Do you prefer to sit in the back or toward the front of the restaurant?
The back.
Okay. You can have the back table back here if you want. It's just come available. It's all cleaned up.
Okay.
Follow me. All right. You have a seat. Eliminates the sound. Okay. So they're seating for five at the table. Did the two of you sit next to each other?
Yeah.
And do you sit on the sides where you'll have your back to the door that you're kind of interested in, or the side you have your front to the door?
I would have my front to the door.
Okay. So if you sit, are you sitting next to him then?
Yeah.
On his left or his right?
I would say left.
Are we like in the middle of the room or against the wall?
In the middle of the room.
If he's on my right, like usually the door.
So if you sit on his left, for example, most of the dining room will be back and to your right, including the front door and the window.
I'll sit on his
right. And the room that you're interested in will be straight ahead. If you sit on his right, then most of the dining room and the door and the window are directly behind you. And then the door that you're interested in will be ahead to your right.
Okay.
Which one do you want?
I'll sit on the right.
Okay, so the dining room and the front door and window are behind you. Okay. You also, now that you're further back in the room, can see that there is a small alcove to the left. So there's that door that goes into the kitchen. To the left is a little alcove that's like about 5 feet deep and 8 feet this way. And it has a small table in it, but the table is pushed to the side, and sitting on a bench is what appears to be a bard, and he apparently just returned back to sitting there, and he picks up his instrument and he's fiddling with some stuff in his case on the floor, and he begins to gently play music. So she waits for you to sit down at the table, and then she provides menus for you. The menus are trimmed in leather, and they have a rough papyrus style paper, which is like almost like onion.
I know what that is.
Dried out.
You studied that.
There's a very simple menu, and they are only serving dinner. It is definitely dinner time, and you have three choices of meat. It's basically roast, chicken breast, boneless chicken breast, or ham steak.
Mm-hmm.
And
if we're all getting chicken breast, then I'll get chicken breast.
Does that make sense?
Okay. And it does come with sautéed vegetables, homemade rolls, and she looks at you and says, milk or juice? Now, in theory, both of you drink wine, have had wine on many occasions, probably,
yeah.
But you look young, like older kids, younger teens, don't forget. So.
I agree.
And she realized that you were elven, she might offer you wine or something, but she didn't. She said milk or juice.
I said juice.
Very well.
Okay.
Wine. Good juice.
I'll take two cups of juice. We have another person not currently here that we're going to bring the chicken breast and juice to.
Oh, you're going to take them out with you? Okay, so I can put it in a rug for you to take. I can also box up the extra food that you're going to order for that person if you want.
Yes, please, that'd be helpful.
Okay. All right. So it'll be a few minutes. But I'll get the drinks out right away. She leaves and heads to the kitchen. During this period of time, the lady that's been clearing the table has been going to and from the kitchen. She's probably on her, like, third trip.
I stand up and I start walking towards the window.
Okay. Let's see if she notices and says anything.
I keep a close eye on the guy. Keep her very close on them, but I do stay at the table.
Okay. She either doesn't notice or just doesn't say anything, one or the other. Right. So it is a heavy oaken door. It does have a brass knob and a keyhole, like for a skeleton key, on it. Pretty finely crafted, as are most of the doors and walls in Southern Miss Cove. It's a high-end, technologically speaking, city. They have good quality hinges. They have the printing press. They have lots of stuff like that.
Thank you.
How slowly?
About like this.
So, okay, so fairly normal, but like the actual opening of the door is lower. You mm-hmm. kind of peek inside. Okay?
I just want to see. I don't want to show my whole body.
Okay, so right away you see that there is a hallway. The hallway leads to the right or left. To the right is toward the front door of the building, but there's no access up there, so you didn't see a way for it to connect.
Can I see from the angle I'm keeping an eye on?
Yeah, you can see him, and you can kind of see beyond the door a little bit. The hallway goes also to the left, and it goes some length, 30, 40 feet, before it comes to a dead end. And on both sides of the hallway are doors. So the first door on the left side of the hallway is about 20 feet down, and from, you know, kind of just looking in that general direction, you think probably is the kitchen. But then there are three doors. One is almost directly opposite you, and then the second one is down almost opposite the kitchen door, and then the third one is down almost to the end of the hall.
Okay.
And all those doors are shut. Roll a d20.
16.
Okay. Okay. You hear conversation in the hallway. You can hear conversation in the room directly opposite the door that you just opened. It's a little bit straight across the hallway, slightly to the right. And you've not opened the door all the way. So you really can't see down the hallway to the right. You just know it goes that direction.
I'm slowly slipping.
Okay. Slowly?
Yeah, just slowly. The end's cautious.
Okay.
Just,
well, I understand what slowly means, but I was going to say, in this case, that might not be cautious because the people in the living room or the dining room are probably going to notice you.
I'm walking.
Yeah, so you step in and close the door behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What are you doing?
I just pretty much stay and watch, but I do, like, pull my money sack, because that's where I'm keeping the gems from old tearing, up enough, and then loosen it so that I could open it if I need to.
The bard begins to sing kind of like long and lilting opera-like music. Peaceful. Roll a d20 if you would.
12.
Okay. You can't see Dan once he closes the door. You're staying alert, you're ready with a stone, the juice is delivered. She doesn't mention the fact that Dan's not at the table.
Probably as soon as he's going to the bathroom or something.
Maybe, although they don't say anything about a bathroom being available, so there's no signs or anything. But you are somewhat distracted by the bard and you realize he's
good.
Pretty good. Like, his music is good, his skill is more than what you've had many opportunities to experience. And so you find your attention's torn between whatever Dan is up to and the bard playing. In fact, you're fairly sure that the bard might be playing specifically that which he thinks would appeal to you. Okay, hang out, will you? Yeah, just put right back up in here. Okay. It's the way he's playing. It seems like it's directed specifically you. He looks up at you time and again, maybe leaning slightly in your direction. Now, realize you are the only customer in the back of the restaurant. The other two, who might very much like the romantic music, are all the way toward the front. Okay. All right? So you hear conversation in the room directly across from you. What do you do?
I'm going to go.
We hear conversation. Okay. So you hear them talking, and the language they're talking in seems to be basically common, but it's broken, and there's a lot of slang, and a certain amount of like clicks and buzzing noises in what they're saying, and so you're not getting the full gist of the conversation. It's some kind of a dialect that you don't speak. But if you want to roll a d20, I'll let you know what you can do.
That's two.
That's weird. Okay. So anyway, they seem to be negotiating a trade deal of some kind. And there is definitely numbers involved, like they're bidding or something. And there are three individuals in the room. And one of them seems to be kind of overseeing it, and the other two are adversarial, like disagreeing over who is going to make a purchase or something of that nature. And it's fairly heated. You're not sure that they're the only three people in the room, but they are the only three people that are talking. Okay. And none of them are a woman.
No. So I won't go into that room because all I do is
that. Now that the door is shut, you can see that there is another door that went to the right. And once you turn to the right, it'll be on the left-hand side. It's on the same side as this door. It's more back toward the front of the building. And then there's still the two going down toward on that side. And then there's the kitchen door on the left. All right. The three doors that you have not been in. Okay, hold up there. All right, so you sampled the juice.
Is there a place up by the bar where you can tip?
There's no bar. It's a restaurant. So he has his instrumental case like on the floor in front of him, and there's 10 or so coins in it of a varying, mostly there's nothing bigger than a silver, so copper and silver.
I want to go to
okay. Nothing to do so, you just get walk over to the point of the case.
It's 1 gem per conversation.
Yes, 1 gem per conversation. And you use Rosie, one of Rosie's to contact Obeth already, so.
Oh, I'm hesitating putting this in.
That was a lot.
Look at that. Her and Rosie.
We would clarify, it only takes one stone to communicate with him, but then only the one person is in the conversation. So they just used one stone, not two, and it was one of Rosie's that was used. So all three of your stones and two of Rosie's stones are still active for the day. Okay, so you're putting that in? Okay. So he smiles brilliantly at you, and you think he is young and handsome and charming. You thought he was older, but now you realize he does have a handsome mustache and young, like his eyes don't have bags under him. Like, you realize he's younger than you initially thought, but he does appear to be human or possibly half elven. He's not an elf. Anyway, he definitely seems very pleased, and if anything, he increases the volume of the current song that he's playing slightly, and then shortly he switches to another song, and the song that he plays next is the Song of the Outsiders.
The Song of the Outsiders?
Yep. So
I know them. Serena met them at the retreat.
Correct. So he sings a story of...
You don't get to hear it.
Yes, he sings a story of a young dragon, princess, heiress, whatever. Basically her protectors and heroes and how they adventure together and travel around doing more and more good deeds and kind of making the world a better place. And it's a pretty, the song is very positive for them. It's almost like a promo piece, okay? But it definitely does talk about her being a dragon heir. Your money's going out of your purse. Dragon heir in disguise, okay? And he plays it very well. Roll a d20.
Chip. Okay. I really hope I need it low.
Yeah, in this case. Anyway, you definitely think that he is pretty intentionally playing for an audience of one, which is you. Like, he's almost ignoring the romantic mood at the table at the front. Also about that time, another small group of three men, one an older white-haired man and two kind of middle-aged, salt and pepper-haired, muscular men, comes in and they take the second table from the door. So the romantic couple is still in the front, then there's an empty table, and then there's another table that now has those three men at it. And they immediately order food, and the waitress stops by to tell you that, or serving girl stops by to tell you that your food's almost done, it'll be out in a moment.
Thank you.
And that she's boxing up the third meal, okay? All right, meanwhile, all right, did you say you were going to the other door toward the front, or what are you doing next?
There
are three total doors on that side that you have not checked out yet.
I'm probably not going to check out doors. It's not safe for just one person to do it, in my opinion.
Okay.
In case there's more. So I'll probably leave the hallway.
Okay, so you're going back out to the restaurant?
Before I leave, I want to go out my, one of my cells and look at what's
up. Okay, all right. What do you say?
So we might need you back here, tie up the horses, because I'm standing in this hallway right now that has four doors in it. There's four doors in it. One has people talking, and there's a few other doors that I don't know what's inside, so, and I don't think it's safe for just one of us. And Selena's still out there. I'm the only one in the hallway now.
Okay, I can come back there.
Yes, and then just tie the horses up outside.
Interested in giving financially to Low Moon and support the campaign? Text LMGIVE, that's LM Give, to 419-419-0095. I'm on my way. I'll be there in 5 minutes.
Oh, we also bought you food. Or got you.
Oh, I was getting hungry. Excellent. Okay, and then what?
Then I leave.
All right, going back to the dining hall. Okay, roll a d20. Okay. As you are stepping out, or just about to step out, you just put your hand on the knob, you step out, you hear harsh words, but they're soft, so you can't make out exactly what they said. It was like something just sounded like, and it comes from the next door, the one that you had not looked, you had not gone to, so the one toward the kitchen. Huh? Okay. Do you open the doorway, step out into the living room, or into the dining room? You see the bard is playing. He's making googly eyes at Selena.
I walk over.
Seems that somehow or other she has managed to charm him.
I walk over to.
I'm charming.
I walk over to Selena.
Princess Charming.
Oops.
That was the wrong one. Roosters are going off.
Roosters are going off at 7 o'clock in the afternoon.
So he returns to the table and you pull the door shut behind you, obviously.
No, I walk over to him and I sit here.
She's not at the bar.
Oh, well,
there is no bar. She
bard.
Went to the bard and put money in it. She's back at the table now. The bard is making googly eyes at her. Bars don't have eyes.
I said it at the same
time. It's okay. Yeah, okay.
Unless
anyway.
You put the plastic googly eyes on.
If you don't want to miss any of the story, Low Moon Origins, Uprising, or Outsiders, like and follow our podcast. Please share it with friends. By this time, he has finished the song of the Outsiders and is he's singing a song called A Young Man's Agape, which is basically a song of a young man falling in love with a beautiful woman that he had a chance encounter with.
You.
I mean, not really, but anyway, you could use it for something like that. Anybody could use it for something like that. But it's a song you've heard before. He didn't make it up. And so it's a song about a young man who falls in love with a woman in a chance encounter and then spends many days, possibly months, the song doesn't specify, searching for her in the big city of Southern Miss Cove, which is a big city. Like, the population of Southern Miss Cove is like millions of people. And there's the upper city and lower city, and this is a big town. And ultimately, he joins the military, and he's going off on a sailing ship. And he's right at the point in the story where he joins the military and he's going off on a sailing ship when Dan returns to the table. And you know how the song ends. The song ends, she comes out to see the ship off for some reason, not the two of them not knowing each other, she wants to see the ship off. And so he sails off looking at her on the dock, and the song implies that she might have been there to see off some other sailor, but it doesn't change how much loves her or is infatuated with her, basically. And so her being there to see him off, he kind of takes her being there to see him off as a positive, even though she's probably there to see somebody else off. But he's not at that point. This is the point where he's just joined the Navy and Dan returns. Okay?
So there's...
And the waitress is also there bringing the food. Okay. So she sets down steaming plates of broiled boneless chicken breast, sautéed vegetables, and each plate has two slices of homemade bread on it, and there's butter on top of the bread, and the butter is melting into the bread as it's sitting there. Looks like pretty decent food. Also, the cost of the dinner is going to be counting roses, it comes to one silver.
All right.
Okay. She hasn't said that yet, but you know from the menu that that's what it's going to add up to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, she puts food on the table. She smiles at both of you. And she says, back just in time. Mm-hmm. Chef's food is always the best when it's fresh out of the kitchen.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, can you sit back down?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Are you, the two of you eating then?
Yeah.
Do you tell her what you found?
So the door I went to, it was a hallway that had four doors in it. One had communicating in it, like I heard conversations, but I didn't bother with that. And then as I was leaving, the door that was right behind me, I heard harsh words. Like, not really yelling, but harsh words.
It's scolding.
Yeah.
It was low and behind one of the other doors, so you couldn't really tell what they said.
I called Rosie back. I told her to leave the door, the horse rooms outside, tie them up. Then we're going to go to the hallway, investigate the hallway, and leave.
Daddy,
yeah, I mean, you can always get change when you spend it anyway. Yeah, but I don't think there's enough copper up there to do that.
How much is
20 copper. Oh, no, it's 10. 10 for one. 10 for one. It's 20 silver is one gold. That's what it is. You see that?
Exactly.
There you go. There's some more around here somewhere.
Why did you want to change it up?
Reasons.
She wants to be able to give tips and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, not long after he finishes telling you what he saw, Rosie arrives, and she comes with a chill, mind you, because it's cold outside. It's warm in here, but it's cold outside. And she takes her cloak off, throws it across the back of her chair. She sits down, scoots the chair up, eyes the chicken. Mind you, hers is in a box.
Rosie, what are you doing?
I came to eat, and
I caught her back.
Be an extra person because
of what I found.
Dan might have found something of interest, and
she was hungry.
He was afraid to go by himself.
Okay, well.
You're like, I'm afraid.
I'm not afraid. I just said it's not safe.
It's not safe.
Well,
the doors. We don't know what's behind any of them. It'd be best to have.
Old Tear did keep safe. Don't take any unnecessary risks.
Exactly.
Well.
Who is this guy?
And
she looks at the bird.
And I.
She smiles.
Somebody who
smiles back.
I say, well, when I slide the box of food over the wall.
That's her food.
That's yours.
We were going to bring it to
awesome.
You.
Awesome. I like this box.
You're going to keep it, aren't you?
Yeah, I think so. Is it mine?
Yes.
Yeah, look inside it. It's your food.
A little box.
Of food.
Well, we're gonna bring
I'm
it
gonna
to
eat
you.
The food.
You're gonna bring it to you, and then we ended up. And then I ended up calling you back.
Oh, broiled boneless chicken breast. I love me some broiled boneless chicken breast.
We all got the same thing.
Mmm. She picked up the
and we got
bread
you some
and
juice.
Takes a big old bite out of it. Oh, thank you. She slides her mug of juice over.
That was awesome for you to take with
us. She taps the wooden mug and she goes, "This is different than yours." Is this my mug, too?
Yes.
Awesome.
It was supposed to be to go.
A box and a mug.
Okay. She's eating.
I point to the door and I said, that's the door that I was in. But that has the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
Hallway is
I look over at the bug just for a second.
Okay. And smiles. All right. So, other than eating this really wonderful broiled boneless chicken breast and this bread, scrumptious. Not sure about the vegetables. I've never been huge on the way humans broil their saute their vegetables. Seems to take a lot of the tastiness out of it. Back home, we barely broil and it stays nice and crisp. And
tastes good.
Is that how you guys do it too? Back home?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, why do you think humans do it? Get so mushy like this?
I don't know. They're just different.
The humans.
Maybe it's because they don't have good dental care. That could be why. Your teeth are weak. You ever notice that about humans?
Sometimes.
Yeah, I guess. Alright, well, we're finishing them so we can go. We gotta get back soon anyway, so the castle.
But we're just giving up?
No. Oh. I'm saying, but hurry up so we can go to the door and then we gotta leave from the castle.
Why do we have to go in there?
We have to stop the girl.
But
find out more information. That's what Ogrethe said we should do.
But also, he said not take any unnecessary risks.
It's not risk.
We're hearing scolding and yelling from random men behind some kind of creepy doors. That's not a risk?
Nope.
That's not an unnecessary risk?
I mean, scolding isn't really very risky.
Okay, mystery men.
Okay, scolding is the only thing I heard, and except for combination like trading and bidding.
Combination.
I have a very limited respect for
mysterious men.
Dangerous strangers who are humans. Although my grandmother would say, best to just outlive them. Problem is, we live amongst them now, so they could be up to something. We know that. I'm pretty sure she snuck into the wall, stuck in over the wall, and that's illegal.
No doubt.
So, knowing whether that's true and why she would do that, what she's up to,
sneaking something in or something.
And I doubt anything that's in here is going to come to Ogrethe, so he's not going to be able to tell us.
Not unless they have some kind of plant in there, and yet their roots wouldn't be planted in the ground.
Right, exactly. So they wouldn't be able to contact them.
So we go.
This is good chicken, though.
Yeah.
But it's almost all gone. Hey, if I eat everything in this box, hey, can I put some of my extra vegetables on your plate if I don't eat them? Because then I can take the box and it'll be clean.
Yeah, I'm not going to
call you. Awesome. If you're a big eater, maybe you want to eat that, my extra vegetables. You know, to keep your strength up, you got to start sparring training every day.
I already do.
All right, so who's going in
it's
the door
not
and
always,
who's not?
It's not always training, though.
Well, I say we all go into the hallway.
What happens if somebody... But what happens if we need someone out here for, like, emergencies?
For what kind of emergencies? Like if our food gets cold?
No. If, like, they go in there and the men are dangerous, we might have to contact somebody out here and the men might not let us out.
Like, to get the authorities, you mean?
Yeah. Could become dangerous.
Yeah, that is a problem. That would leave us with no backup if we all go in.
What's up with the hallway? We are going to the hallway.
But still, the men might come out into the hallway. I say one of us stay outside of the door.
Well, I can stay here. It's going to take me a minute to eat all this food anyway. Oops. You guys had a little bit of a head start.
Alright.
Also, Bard's pretty cute.
Stay away from my man.
Oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry.
Hello.
I just realized this whole time I thought he was looking at me, and now I realize he was actually looking at you.
Yeah, okay.
Makes perfect sense.
Does it though?
No.
She goes, hey.
He played a song about the outsiders.
Did you put that Electrum piece in his case?
Yeah.
No.
No.
He played a song about the outsiders.
You can eat that bread. I ate both my pieces. I could eat one more if you got another one.
I hand it to him.
Oh, thank you. Can I have the one that has the more butter on it?
Guys, he played a song with...
She reaches out, takes the one with more butter.
He played a song about the outsiders.
He's multi-instrumental. He's playing the flute now.
Oh yeah, but he played a song...
We got it. He played a song about the outsiders. Big deal. We didn't even know them very much.
We met them at the retreat.
Okay, but it was... You know,
Yeah, when we went off world and all that.
Do you know that? Wait, in the story, do we know that she's a dragon in this fight?
Yes, she turned into a dragon in the final fight.
She sung a song about.
Kendrick.
Not Kendrick.
I've heard the song before, Rosa says.
She turned into.
It's the one that talks about she's a dragon, but of good, a dragon heiress, but of good heart, and her uncle wants to kill her, and. She's traveling with the heroes, and the heroes protect her, and they do lots of good everywhere. That one, right?
Isn't Kendra the name?
Yeah, I've heard it before.
No, not Kendra.
No, Kendra's the other one. She's Lady Kendra from Mercyvale.
Oh, Caitlin.
The one that looks way too young to have done half the things that she says she's done. In fact, I think she's like 19, and she has 3 kids who are teenagers. That's not even possible.
Who? Is she Elven?
No, she's human.
Adoption?
Yeah, no, not adoption. They're her kids. I think it's magical. Like she had potions of vitality or something. She got de-aged. She doesn't look that much older than we do. And she's strong as a beast.
Fact, I say we should probably hurry up and go
Who's staying out here?
I'll stay out here and you guys go in.
Okay, I really need to regenerate my spells.
I can do that overnight. We have to go.
Remember, your spell assortment would be as it would have been that day rather than after the whole combat.
Oh, so none of them are used. Never mind.
Right. Okay. Here, I'll tell you when to go. She's watching the waitress. Okay, when she turns her back, she's looking at the table, and the other waitress is in the kitchen. Okay, go now.
I win, whether looking at me, but okay, let's go.
No, you didn't. You just got lucky and went in a time when they didn't notice it.
Surprisingly.
Okay. But there you go. You open the door, step inside. Yep. Alright? You hear the conversation has stopped.
Oh.
And that door, in fact, that door is ajar.
It's open now?
Yep, sitting like about 4 inches open.
He probably left. Did you see anybody leave the hall? I didn't see anybody leave.
One of the other doors?
They could have, or they could have went out the back way.
Sure, there was a center. Well, I'm going to go to that door that's open now.
Okay.
We're not going alone. We're staying together. I'm coming
down. I opened the door.
Okay. So in the room, there is one individual, and he immediately looks up at you. It looks like a small meeting chamber. There's a table that's 4 feet across. There are 4 chairs. In the wall, in the corner, there's an armor dummy that has a suit of chainmail and a helmet. The individual is picking up stuff off the table. He's got a pile of papers in one hand, and he's got 3 or 4 mugs in the other. And they do look like the to-go mugs, like the ones that Rosie had, not the ones that you guys got your drinks in. And there's still a few things on the table. He may work here. You don't know. He is wearing leather armor. And he does have a sword on his left hip. He's in the room there. Dan just opened the door. He was cleaning up the room, picking up papers and mugs. He's got a pile of papers in his left hand. He's got mugs in his right hand. And there's still a few things on the table. And he looks up and he says, "Can I help you?"
Yes, actually. There was people in here that... Was there a... female in here by chance? Just a few minutes ago.
Dark hair, black veil.
Nope.
I believe she's wearing a mask or something.
No. No women in here.
Just men.
Right. That's what no women means.
Alright. That's it then.
Okay. Goes back to shuffling around, picking stuff up.
I go.
Leave the door ajar and move on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's go.
The next door is the door that you heard the harsh words in.
Is that one
ajar? Maybe there's a child in there.
That one is closed. So.
It is not. It is closed. You do notice that the next door, which is past the kitchen, so this one is almost to the kitchen door.
At least
the
next one's past the kitchen.
And the next door is ajar, where it was closed previously, but this one is closed.
So we're going to go to that door first.
Go to the ajar door first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so you're passing in front of the kitchen, and you kind of like to make sure nobody sees you poking around back here as you go past.
In case we're not up.
And you see they're working in there pretty heartily, making quite a lot of food. A lot going on, considering there's only 5 people in the restaurant plus you guys.
Yeah.
You see like a big pot architects go into a big silver pot that's like 3 feet across by like 3 feet high, and you see steam rising out of the top of it. So it's just sitting on a stove and there's fire in it. And there are four people in there cooking, and you see that the waitress, the one serving girl that you saw first that was clearing the table, you see that she's in there, and she's leaning on a counter and eating vegetables off of a wooden tray and talking to one of the cooks. They don't notice you. You pass the door. You arrive at the door that is ajar. Okay. These are all the same kind of door. Heavy, wooden, nicely crafted brass hinges and locks. But the door is sitting ajar.
I open that door.
Okay. So looking in, you see another meeting room like the one that you saw before.
Okay.
It is unoccupied. But you do notice that there is a door in the right-hand side, which would connect it to that middle room that you didn't go in. And that door is ajar as well. The table, chairs, nothing scattered on the table, no mugs, no nothing. There's a small waste paper basket in the corner, and an extra chair in the corner, and a broom standing up next to the chair, and then this right-hand corner has a door in it, which would lead to that middle room, and it is ajar.
Alright, we're going to that door. Follow the ajar doors. Meaning that somebody either went in there? Or somebody left. Somebody's in there. Then we leave.
Maybe there's only people in the closed door. Maybe all the people that were in the ajar doors
had to leave them ajar.
No, went in the closed door.
Or they had to leave them ajar, letting people know that there's nobody in there. Or that they're unoccupied. But I still want to be sure. Case, so we're checking out. Case, if we do go in that door and we end up getting in a fight, that people will come out from behind. So I go to the ajar door.
Okay. I'm not enjoying this at all.
Okay, so from that room, you're going in through the ajar door into the middle room, or at least opening it. Okay, so you open it. It is another meeting room, so they're all pretty well the same. But directly to the left, you can see that there is, it's not real. It's made of like paper or something like that, but there is a potted plant that's about 2 foot in diameter. It's just inside the door to the left. And then,
why is it plant?
You're about to find out. Okay.
We're gonna find a giant trash bag again.
Okay. Anyway, on the other side, so this room does show signs of a struggle. A couple of the chairs are knocked over. The table is slid out of position. And you see laying on the floor on the opposite side of the room. Right, why are you talking while I'm talking? Okay. Is the woman in question. She's laying on the floor. There's a pool of blood around her neck. She appears to be there, like, kind of thrown there, like, disheveled. She's not laying comfortably. Is that chicken-free chicken? I can't have it unless it's chicken-free.
Chicken on my thoracic.
I can.
One. Thank you.
Which is fine by you, for sure. Okay. Anyway, there's no telling for sure if she's dead, but she's laying on the floor.
I draw my sword.
There's quite a bit of blood
and
around her.
I check her pulse.
Okay.
Because I do have healing as one of my.
Right. Roll a d20.
Yes. 14.
And what is your wisdom?
I. 16.
Wisdom is the W.
Oh, I thought you said initiative. I was like, what? 17.
Okay. So you She is not dead, but she is unconscious. You realize that she is both badly sliced at her neck, not on the front, but on the side, and that it appears as if she's been poisoned. Poison that is seeping out from the wound through the skin in her neck and her face. Okay, but because you made your healing check, you can give her D3 hit points back.
Okay. Also, I have Slow Potion is one of my spells right now.
Okay.
Slow Poison. All right. So I'm going to use that. I ask, is there like water or a sink somewhere?
There's not.
Anywhere near?
Roll a D3 first of all for the healing.
Triangle D4.
I'm trying to find it.
A D6 divided by 2. Yes. So she gets 1 point back. Plus, she gets this little poison, okay? She immediately comes around. She looks kind of dazed. You can see her eyes are bloodshot. She tries to put her hand to her neck where you put the bandage. And then she says something in Elven.
Okay? We speak Elven!
Which you speak Elven. And she says...
Say it in Spanish.
English.
I doubt you would if I could even say it in Spanish, which I cannot, all right? She says, someone on the inside. Someone on the inside.
Oh, no.
Inside of what?
Mm. And her eyes seem to focus as if she sees you. She says, are you the girl from the marketplace?
Yes. Track king abilities.
She tries to push herself up, and you realize that she has a short sword that was laying under her on the floor, and she's like pushing it out from underneath of her as she's sitting up against the wall. She looks sideways at Dan. Who's he?
My friend. She's here to protect us. You're safe now. What happened?
Was I poisoned?
Yeah.
How did you spare me?
I've casted slow poison on you. It'll last for now. We need to get you help, though.
Selena.
I can get help at the guild. I'm going to be... Will you take me there? I'll pay you.
You can ride on my back of my horse. I'll get you there.
Someone on the inside ordered this. I guarantee it.
Someone on the inside. Someone on the inside. Are you talking about someone on the inside of this building?
No. I mean, maybe. But... Someone in the guild. Someone that knew that I was here to listen to the contract negotiations.
So that's what I heard?
I don't know.
I
probably
heard yells, scolding.
Okay.
Whoever it was came in behind me, surprised me, gave me this. Oh, you can see already the bandage is soaking through with blood. She says, I can get help for the poison at the guild. And I need to tell them that someone on the inside had to... very few people knew that I was... what this could mean.
Selena, go get Rosie.
She starts to try to get up.
I walk over and I help her.
I help her up too.
She grabs the short sword and puts it in its sheath. You put your sword away, I assume?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I do.
We'll have to leave by the back door.
Okay. You do?
Dan.
No one can see me like this.
I want you
we
to
need to contact
Rosie.
Rosie with this stone. Once we get out there, we'll do it.
She's 15 feet away.
Just go get her.
You're overkill to use the stone. She's 15 feet away. You guys leave this room, go back in the hallway. You go back 10 feet. She's right outside the door. So somebody just needs to stick their head out and say, leaving this way. Go out the front door. Someone's got to pay for dinner, too, unless you're going to try to skip
I
on
stick...
I can get her. You go get Rosie.
I stick the head out. Yeah, I go over and I stick my head out and say, front door, meet me around. And then I walk back.
Okay.
And then I walk out the side door.
All right. So you help the, whatever she is, spy. I'll call her spy for now. Out the side door. You go out the front door. You see that pigeon and something like sparrow. I was going to say canary. Anyway, Pigeon and Sparrow are tied up out front, and Rosie arrives at the horses about the same time you and Dan do, and you have the lady with you.
Well,
so you put her on the back of your horse, I assume.
Uh-huh.
You and Rosie get on Pigeon, I assume.
Okay,
hopefully Pigeon can keep up.
We got a life to save. We got to do this.
Okay. All right,
you're going to tell me directions of where the guild is.
All right, so she says...
I have direction sense.
Head north. And then you don't have direction sense, right?
I do.
You do?
Luckily.
Okay.
We
so you wheel the horse around and start to head north. All right, both of you roll a d20.
Yay, I got direction sense. D20.
5.
Hopefully high numbers are good. 19.
No, not in this case.
I got 5. Right?
Okay, so you see an individual half a block away at the edge of the alley, and you guys are just about to ride past him. Like, so you'll be cutting right across in front of him within 20 seconds or so. And he first looked out from the alley and then ducked back, and that was suspicious enough. And then you guys are riding pretty quickly. And then he comes back to the mouth of the alleyway, and just as you're passing in front of the alleyway, he aims a crossbow at the four of you.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Speed this up!
I use,
dislodge weapon or something?
Electric shield.
Okay. So
I'm going to cast electric shield.
Right, so first of all, we need to figure out, are you on his side or are you on the other side? So roll even odd. If it's an even, then you're on his side and can use the electric shield to protect your friends as well.
3.
It is not. Okay, so you're on the left side, which means that Dan and the woman
are on the
right side.
Can't I just make it go all the way around all of us?
It's not a dome. It's a flat shield. And it's not even very big. It's like 3 foot by 4 foot.
I speed things up.
So you throw it up, which means if he doesn't hit, there's a chance he's aimed at her.
I yell Dan, but I cast it to make him
look. She goes, Dan! And and static electricity fills the air in front of her. And you hear, boom, as a crossbow bolt flies.
I wonder if I could do something. Jump off the horse.
What about the lady? Right. That was her.
I tell her to keep riding.
Put your shield up. Shield parry.
I can't do that.
Well, you do know that they take time to reload, so...
We run. Fast. Yeah,
assuming you're not shot, riding away is probably your safest bet.
You run fast.
Crossbow shot.
On a horse.
Okay, and then...
A racing horse, actually.
Okay. All right. Okay, so what happens is the crossbow shot goes behind the two of you, and you think it was a near miss behind the woman who's riding behind you. And then it does arc off of the electric shield, and there's a bit of a shock, a little bit of a flash of white light,
Good you put that up.
And then it arcs off into space
somewhere
over the houses or whatever. It's gone.
It's a random person.
Yeah. And then the four of you ride down the street and away from the attack. Okay?
I'm going to race him so much fast.
Quickly, it gets quiet, and you've freed yourself from the conflict. No.
Definitely not someone we'd like to encounter anymore.
No, if I was feeling better, I wouldn't mind encountering him.
He should
pay for his attacks against us, but
we shouldn't.
Right now, I need to get somewhere and get this poison taken care of more completely, and I need to let the guild know that someone has betrayed us.
Are you hungry?
Rosie says, "What were you doing there?" She declined.
We need to just go.
This is as you are writing. Okay? So she basically openly admits, especially since she's on the verge of death, that she was there to spy on contract negotiations between two individuals. She does not give the details of what she found out or who they were. But she says that's what she was supposed to do, was listen to their negotiations and report back to the guild.
That
she was
happening.
Assigned by the guild to do so. And very few people knew that she was going to be there. In fact, everyone should have believed that she was out of town. She just came into town tonight, and she particularly came by a roundabout way so that no one would know that she was in town
as she
conducted this mission. Okay. The contract negotiations are important, but she can't imagine why they're important enough to kill Bork. Okay?
Yeah, all
right. And so
we're heading north.
About a 10-minute ride. Mind you are inside the city and the gates will be closing. So this probably has made it so that you'll be stuck in the city overnight because the sun has set and
we didn't get back then.
Yeah, right. If you were left right now and went back to the retreat, you might be able to make it back in time, but
we're not leaving her.
They'll be closing the gates because the sun has set. Okay, anyway, you arrive at a small, what basically looks like a country home. It has a manicured, sculpted lawn, and then you can see a maze of hedges out back. It's a big, beautiful place, three stories, easily probably dozens of bedrooms, that kind of thing. But on the property to the right is what appears to be like a guest home, and then next to it is a large, long, low building that is made of stone and looks like for stables, probably where they keep the carriages, probably a carriage house. And she guides you to the gate, which is a side gate, not the main gate. The front leads to the main road. And then she opens the gate as you pull up next to it. She opens the gate and then she tells you to go through and to head to the guest house.
Okay.
All right. Arriving at the guest house, you can see that it looks unoccupied. Well kept, but unoccupied. Has windows on the front that face the front lawn of the mansion.
Quick question on the writing. Do we have any words we could say?
Not me to say it. Hey, yeah. Lots and lots of inns on the Miskove.
Sure.
Hundreds.
So many people.
There's probably 100 of them at least. Okay. As you are arriving at the mansion, the sun has completely set and twilight is ending. It's starting to get dark outside, and the rolling lawns of the mansion are starting to fill with smoke and mist, basically fog. Southern Miskove is called that because every night, sometime overnight, the cove fills with fog.
Are we still riding now that it does that?
Yes.
Rosie, can you possibly offer us some light?
Sure, I could. You're really not having any trouble seeing, though. So. I'd rather save it, though, just in case it gets really dark. Okay. You ride through the gate. You see the rolling fog on the lawn. You ride up to the guest house, okay, and there is a hitching post. It's just one vertical hitching post in the front with a ring on it, yep. And you hitch Pigeon and Sparrow up to it. You have to help her.
Yeah.
She's clearly weak. She looks like she would have trouble walking on her own.
Both me and Dan help her walk in to make sure she is supported.
Okay. You enter a dark, there's no one there, furnished front room. Has fine furniture in it. Has a big painting on the wall that you can't make it out. You're seeing on improvision. It has an open architecture, and the back half of that same room has a kitchen in it. It's a pretty big kitchen. It's a big counter and cabinets, and you can see pots and pans hanging from the walls and ceiling and like that. As you head into that area, which is where she tells you to go, there is the floor is stone with mortar in between it. So it's like flat bricks. What?
Sorry, I just...
Anyway, and then you round the corner, and you can see that there is a door, and it leads to a set of stairs, and there is light coming up from below.
Okay.
Okay. And she says, "You better wait here. I think I can make it down the steps. Once I tell them what's going on, we'll figure out."
You sure you can make it down?
I don't know, but I can't take you down. I'll have to try. If I have to sit down and scoot on my butt, I will.
Here, I take my staff out and I hand it to her. Use this for extra support.
Oh, good. Okay. So she takes the staff and you hear clunk, clunk, clunk as she goes down the steps.
I don't have a weapon.
Okay. What do you do in the meantime? You're standing in this house, very unfamiliar territory. It's a big, beautiful guest house. It has a beautiful kitchen that's like 10 by 15, 10 by 20. And then there's the big sitting area, which has a fireplace, but it's not lit. It's a nice divan, couch, chairs. That has a big bearskin rug in front of the fireplace, but the kitchen is on a stone floor. And then there is a door that leads into the other part of the house. And the front door that leads outside. So, probably be at least a few minutes. What are you planning on doing?
Sleep.
Gonna sleep? Okay. So you go around the couch and rest your eyes at least.
Okay.
Rosie says, this is a pretty fancy guest house. It's gotta belong to somebody, right?
I get up.
Does anybody know the...
I get up because I'm into the
owner of the mansion? Ooh, I mean, are we trespassing?
Oh, maybe.
No, she said,
let me.
She said she's at least gonna tell them. I mean, been quite kind to her.
Maybe this is
if
okay
this really, if they really care about her house and I'm going to help her, they should care that we did everything to get her here now.
You guys can lay down if you want.
I couldn't sleep if I tried.
I tried to not look.
I might be trespassing on the property of a rich ruler or something. What? It's a good way to get your neck stretched involuntarily.
Okay.
Hey, at least we helped somebody. If we die, at least we know we helped her and kept her alive.
We'd be dead, though.
Yeah, but it's possible. I mean, we initially thought that she might be committing some evil, and that's why we were going to check her out. And then now we've saved her life, and
maybe that's what our tier two is about.
What?
Check on her. Watch her. We should have gone in earlier.
Maybe. He did say no risks, though.
We're not risking.
Are we?
Hey, we're in a big mansion. This is a long time opportunity.
This is really
not just like a guest you get
house.
To explore
the big mansion's
anyway.
Over there.
I do want to go there, though.
Okay. All right. At that point in time, the front door the same one that you came in through, past the horses, swings abruptly open, and there is a man standing in the doorway. He's probably 6 foot tall, 180 pounds, chainmail armor, has a spiked club in his right hand, and
crossbow.
He says, "What are you doing here?"
We came with a woman. She was badly hurt. She said if we took her here, the poison could be healed. I've casted some poison on her to help her from now. But she's bleeding badly.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Down the stairs, guys.
He swings the club like he's preparing to use it.
Down the stairs.
She went downstairs.
Nobody's supposed to be in here. Okay, at that point in time, you hear footsteps coming quickly up the stairs, but they're on the other side of the kitchen.
Hello, help. All
right. So a large man, probably 6'2", about 6'2", and black hair, neatly trimmed, a small, neatly trimmed beard and mustache, smooth skin. He's wearing black, soft leather shirt and pants, and he's got a brown lace for his shirt, has a short sword on his hip, comes from the kitchen. You've not previously seen him. Don't recognize him, obviously.
We were here to save somebody's life. You not know her? Brown hair and a black veil.
I don't know nothing what you're talking about. You're trespassing.
You went down the stairs.
Okay. The man from the stairs comes brusquely past you, and he's raising his hands in kind of like a calming gesture, like whoa, whoa, whoa. And he says, Claude, it's okay. Master Smythe, it's me. It's me. Mind you, it's dark in the room, and they're both humans. But he says, it's me. And he steps into the light that can be seen from outside. And you can see that the fog on the estate is covering most of the grass now. And he says, what's going on, Master Smythe? A lady friend of mine, she was attacked. I'm handling it. Oh. Well, if you say so, Master Smythe. He looks at the three of you. Mind you, probably just seeing you in silhouette because it's dark in the room. And he says, sorry for scaring you.
It's okay. We've had plenty enough of it to be used to it.
Rosie says meekly. Dan wasn't scared.
Nope.
Okay, that doesn't...
You sound scared, Rosie.
Complete your rounds. Yes, Master Smythe. He backs out the door and pulls it shut. Notice that he, as he pulls the door shut, he has his club in his left hand, and he's a big guy, big bulky dude. And he pulls the doorknob like this, like it's tiny. Okay, all right.
I thought we would have to fight.
So you are the ones who helped Ophelia.
Yes.
Don't know the name, but yes, we helped a woman. She said if we came here, the poison could be healed.
I think that's who that
was. That's true.
Mm. There was also a guy in the church. She was on the way here.
I pull a candle out of my backpack and I light it.
Okay. For him, at least.
All
right. You see also that there's a candle and a holder on the table. There's some on the wall. And so it would be possible to light a couple more things in the room. In fact, he'll pick the candle up off the table and extend it to you to light it off of your candle.
I do.
When you get a good look at him, because he's only a few feet away at that point. He's handsome, strong-looking, neatly groomed. His armor is leather clothing, which is just really light armor, is probably expensive. It looks like it's very well crafted. He has a short sword on his head.
You're called Mast, though, so.
I am Smythe.
I'm Dan. Selena, and this is
both. Tonight's good deed has put me in a bit of a quandary.
What does that mean?
Yeah, what does it mean?
Ophelia was put in a very difficult position this evening as she was attacked while involved in a information gathering mission for our guild. Someone in the guild must have outed her that she was even there, but there's no way she would have been attacked.
Is there a guy at the crossbow?
No.
As we were riding out of the alleyway after mounting her on the back of his horse, I was on a mule with Rosie, and as we were riding forward, we saw a man. He was walking out, and he ducked back behind. Next time we saw him riding past, he had shot an arrow just merely miss
Ophelia. Would you recognize him again?
Probably.
Yes.
Ophelia has told us that it is almost certain that she was risked by someone within the guild. That only leaves a half dozen individuals. We need to figure out who it is before things get worse.
Well, I feel like if we were there, we could recognize.
The problem is, the very existence of our guild is a closely guarded secret. I want to thank you, even reward you, for saving Ophelia, but I'm not certain that I can risk your spreading the information that our guild exists or operates out of this house.
Oh, it will not be spread. If you choose not to trust us, we are not offended, but we are here for anything you ask of. Assumingly it is not against the will of us and the one we follow.
Normally, Quint, who is a mage in our guild, would simply erase your memories of recent events tracing back to before you located Ophelia, which would protect our guild from exposure. But we can't do that because Ophelia is unconscious and will be for some time, and you are the only ones who saw the individual who shot at you, and he is the only lead we have to getting to the bottom of who may have betrayed the guild. So, for now, I will trust you, but understand that our guild's influence is far reaching. If you betray us, you will not survive it.
We can tell you that we will do the best that we can, but to make sure that all is well, we may need, in no accounts will we betray or tell anybody about this, but if it is okay with you that we contact our master, as you could call it, and allow him to know where we are
and
for now.
What we've done. We won't say anything about where we are.
He sent us to
check on her.
Yeah, find her.
Hmm.
I can tell you that there is no way he could possibly tell anybody about this.
This is accomplished by magical means, I presume, so you won't have to leave to do it?
Yes.
Very well. I need time to consult with the others below as to exactly how much we can utilize or how we can gain access to your memories to try to figure out who it is that has betrayed us. At that point in time, you hear a carriage roll to a stop out front of the house, and you hear a man's voice briskly, and then you hear footsteps on the gravel. The door is shut, so you can't see, and then you hear footsteps heading toward the door, and he's hearing this as well, obviously, and he moves toward the door and opens it, and just as he opens it, a blonde woman, who's probably in her mid to late 20s, petite and attractive. She's wearing a violet-colored bodice, which basically is like a lady's top that's kind of like open on the chest and tight on the belly. And she has a long, flowing black skirt that goes to her ankles. And you know, so she has a lute on her back, which is a bard's musical instrument. It's kind of like a guitar with a bat body. she steps in. As she steps in, she leans into him and kind of grabs and pulls him close, and he leans into her and they kiss on the cheek. And then she strolls in the room and ignores the three of you. Mind you, it's not very bright still, even though you have two candles lit. And he left the candle that you lit for him on the table. So it's a little brighter where you are than it is by the door. And he says, kind of in soft tones, "I wasn't expecting to see you." She says, "Things went south. Azur is dead." "What?" "Ophelia was attacked as well." And then at that point, she looks at the three of you. "Who are these?"
"We saved the one girl."
We saved Ophelia.
"We saved Ophelia."
"He's not kidding. They saved her. She was poisoned. Her throat nearly slit. She's unconscious below." She swallows hard, looks upset in her eyes. "She'll live. Thank the gods."
"One thing I can tell you is that we did not check all the doors in the room we found her in. There could have been other people. I believe there was one closed door
that we did not go in.
The door that we found her in was ajar, cracked open."
He raises his hand as if to stop you. "She would have been there to spy on negotiations. There should have been a couple of merchants, an advocate, and maybe bodyguards." "You didn't see any of those?"
"I heard them.
We found one person cleaning. Perhaps he was dressed in leather, and he was cleaning cups from the room as if he was cleaning up after the meeting."
"Probably the negotiation that Ophelia was supposed to listen in on." The woman says, "Did she say anything? Did she hear anything?" "No, by the time she got downstairs, she was pretty much out of it." "What?"
"I heard a few things. Not
what did you hear?"
"I couldn't. Oh, I heard."
So you can relate some of what you heard without necessarily understanding it. You have a decent memory. Roll a d20.
Ten.
What is your intelligence?
12.
Okay, so you can relate 15, 20 seconds of conversation that you heard, including clicks and things that were obviously replacing words, that kind of thing. And he does seem to take some special interest in what you're saying. And he chuckles a little bit at your rendition of it. And then she says, "Yeah, that's it. It's merchant tongue. They use a short form of everything, and a lot of words are replaced by keywords. It's designed to be not easily understood by outsiders and to make important dealings go quickly. Sounds like they were pretty much complete by the time you listened in." And Smythe says, "I agree. Why don't you go downstairs, check on Ophelia, and tell the others I'll be down in a moment. We have to decide what to do with our young heroes here. They have to contact their master to explain their involvement, and they promise to be discreet."
You might have to leave to go.
She says, "Together. No blanking their memories." And he says, "As much as I want to protect the guild, right now they're the only ones who have seen the face of one of the assassins." She rolls her eyes. "I don't like it. Ultimately, it could burn this hideout." He said, "Just about as likely as you're coming directly here from when you were attacked. I was careful. No one followed us, I guarantee it. Magical means." She goes, "Right. Very well. I'll be downstairs." And she heads for the back of the kitchen. We're going to speed up at this point. So what happens is she goes downstairs first. He goes downstairs after her. They eventually agree not to blank your memories. I assume you contact Old Tyr. That's who you're talking about?
Yes.
And he does evince considerable interest in what's going on. He says you may have gotten connected with something pretty big. He also cautions you that it's not always easy in matters of political intrigue or mercantile intrigue to know who is in the right. And so if at some point in time you think that you can't figure out who's in the right, then you should just get out and don't have anything to do with it. But if you can figure out who the evil parties are, and anybody that slices somebody's throat from behind using poison is probably anybody, generally speaking, assassins in general are evil. And so if you could stop one or more evil beings from carrying out their schemes, all the more the effort to turn the countryside back to good. He suggests getting a message back to the retreat to let them know that you're going to be out for the night at least. You'll have to come home the next day. And that there may be some ramifications for that if they're upset. I would assume it'll be fine as long as you make your first shift the next day. It's early. Starts before breakfast, so.
Get up.
Okay.
Also, Dad, this is an out-of-game question.
All right, well, we're about to go out of game, so you can ask it. So that is where the plot is going to end for the day. But go ahead.
Are we allowed to say that his name is Oglethor, but not say anything else about him, like, "Our Master Oglethor," that's it? Are we allowed to say his name?
So you were specifically told that the name Oglethor is not to be used.
So Old Tyr.
You can call him Old Tyr if you must. But he specifically said that the name Oglethor could cause him problems.
How? People know it, maybe?
Yep, or because maybe it's his true name, so like if somebody wanted to find him, they could use a spell to find him using that name, or they could teleport to him possibly using that name, that kind of thing. So, very dangerous. Anyway, he specifically said you can know his name, and that was kind of like part of the pact.
People could cut him down. Then it wouldn't happen.
Yeah, and apparently he doesn't have much way of defending himself.
He has animals to allow him to know if somebody's coming.
Yep.
And other trees.
Wouldn't do him any good. No way to keep him. All right, so this concludes the Palace Pages and enlists you in some kind of an intrigue between something called the Guild and the Assassins. So you don't know what kind of guild this guild is, but they were definitely on a spying mission to find out more about a mercantile trade. And then it sounds like there were assassins who betrayed and attacked them.
So. We have to tell the man that we're leaving to go to an inn.
We'll pick up way before that next time. So right now, you will have contacted back Old Tyr and had your conversation with him. By then, Smythe and the girl, whose name you never got yet, will be coming back up out of the basement, and you'll deal with them.
Okay.
So that's where you're at. Staying for the moment at the guest house on someone's estate. You kind of might suspect that either he is a guest there, or he's somehow related to the family that owns the place because of the way he handled Claude, who apparently is local security. So it could be.
I might have saw the horses.
He called him Master.
Yep, he called Master Smythe Master, so that makes it seem like he works for Smythe, which means maybe Smythe owns the place, or is related to the family, or has social status, or something like that. All of which we can find out next time on Palace Pages.
Let's hope I don't miss it.
See you again.
Hope nobody misses it.
Stay tuned for more Lomunian adventures.